This will be Difficult Scriptures, number 2. Now, Jesus said in Luke 18 that when he comes, will he find the faith? Now, that means the true faith on earth. And the answer is, he will find a little bit of it. Matthew 24 and verse 24. Because we're going to see an onslaught when it comes to the time of those who are supposed to be Christian and are not, that this is going to happen. Okay? Verse 24, for there shall be false Christ. Now there are 4 alive today who say that they're Christ, and false prophets, and they shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now stop and think on that. Have we seen that happen to those who've been in the church already? Yes. Now, when they have signs and wonders, that will be convincing to a lot of people. Okay. But what we will find is this. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. So here is going to be the apparatus and the way that it's going to be done and how Satan is going to work. Let's start right there in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, having this ministry, according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. And that's for us. We don't need to be faint-hearted. We need to have strength and courage to be able to understand what's going to happen. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. Now, dishonest gain in the ministry, all you have to do is watch TBN and Daystar. Now, the other day, I was watching it, and Ken Copeland was on. And it was all he could do to read part of a chapter in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Now, it's apparent to me that he's probably beginning to suffer from dementia because he had an assistant right there with him. So when he wasn't able to gather his thoughts, he would have his input, and that was quite obvious, okay? But everything with Ken Copeland is speaking in tongues and send your money because he's such a poor pauper, he's only worth $740 million. Where did he get all of that? Dishonest gain. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, that's very interesting. What was the first thing Jesus said when he was tempted by Satan the devil? Right. Man shall not live by bread alone. That is, every human being, young or old, male or female, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right? And remember, when he said that, there was no New Testament. And today, one of the biggest and most staunchest beliefs is this. The Old Testament has been done away or it has been fulfilled. Okay. Or it's for the Jews. Well, the Jews are happy with that because then that takes them off the hook for the New Testament. Okay? But the Word of God, if it comes out of the mouth of God, it's God's Word. If it comes through one of his servants, it's inspired by him. And if it comes directly from Jesus, it is spirit and it is life. Okay? Handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. And that's what it has to be all the time. What is the truth? Is it the truth? Now, this is a key in understanding the Scriptures, because we're also told in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, that we are to rightly divide the Word of God. And that means to compare truth with truth. Now then, when that is done properly, then you come up with the knowledge of God in the way that it should be. Okay? But the problem is, when they have doctrines that they believe, and if they don't believe them, they're not accepted by the religious community, then they never bring it out. Or they falsify it. Now, you've probably seen advertised lately, The Coming Golden Age by David Jeremiah. Okay, now, he's the son of a Baptist minister, and he's in his 80s, and he's quite a prominent preacher. Now, Colonel Mike looked up his net worth, and his net worth is $54 million. He's just kind of a poor pauper compared to some of the others, okay? Now, he did a good job in enumerating about the millennium. And he quoted a lot of scriptures the correct way. So I kept reading and saying, well, this is good, this is good. And he understands about the millennium. He knows Christ is coming, but he has the timing wrong. He believes in the rapture, which he has shifted over to being the first resurrection, but he doesn't understand about the second resurrection or the great white throne judgment, and he doesn't mention baptism. See? Now, remember, the key is this. You must have a correct baptism for the remission of sins in order to receive the Holy Spirit. And if you don't receive the Holy Spirit and you think you are converted, then you fall into the category here of being deceived by falsely. Because why have all the good scriptures and do those right? But at the end, say, well, if you haven't accepted Jesus, just do it right now. He'll come into your life and you're saved. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel, it is hidden to those who are perishing. Now notice what he says here in verse 4, because this is what is happening. Now, today, we have a lot of things coming against the Word of God. We'll talk about that in a bit. In whom the God of this age or this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Okay? So you have to believe completely in Christ, believe in his word, believe in his message, believe in the Old Testament as well. Now, remember this with the Old Testament, which is this. The Old Testament, the only thing that we don't do are the laws concerning temple worship and sacrifices. Now remember this, God upgraded it to the temple in heaven above where God the Father is, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So he didn't do away with temple, or did he do away with sacrifice? It's a superior sacrifice of Christ, and we pray directly to God the Father in heaven above, who's on his throne, and Christ is at his right-hand side. Okay? So he says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay? For we do not preach ourselves. And you will notice, you watch all those preachers. Every single one of them ends up what? Talking about themselves. You watch them. Every single one. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Okay? So, they handled the word of God deceitfully. Now, let's look at some other scriptures here that are most important for us to understand. Okay, let's come to Psalm 119 and verse 89. Okay, now there are a lot of people who wouldn't want to follow this because it has to do with laws and commandments and precepts and things like this, and all of this is the truth of God. Psalm 119, and let's come to verse 89. Okay. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord. What does that mean? It's always in existence. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. Your faithfulness is to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands. So everything that we have comes from God and is lost. Now, another very interesting thing in Daniel, the 10th chapter, so let's turn there and let's see something else that most people really don't understand. Daniel 10. And there are those people who say, well, you know, we don't believe anything in the Old Testament. Well, if you believe anything in the book of Revelation, you're believing in half of what comes from the Old Testament. Because nothing in the book of Revelation can come to pass unless first everything in the book of Daniel up to that point takes place. Now, Daniel 10, okay, and here is where Gabriel came to Daniel. Verse 19, and he said, O man, greatly beloved, do not fear. Peace unto you, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was made stronger, and I said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said to me, now this is Gabriel the angel, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. So the world today is run by angels and demons. And here was a war going on where one of the leading angels of God, Gabriel, who is in charge of all of the prophecies concerning Christ and his coming, his birth, okay, he said he had to go and fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go forth, lo, the prince of peace shall come. Well, that didn't come for a couple of hundred years, and that was Alexander the Great. but I will show you that which is written in the scripture of truth. Now, written in the scripture of truth, that actually means in the Hebrew, the scroll of truth in heaven. So everything that we have written down here in the Bible is also in the heavens, okay? The scripture of truth, okay? Then he summarizes, and there is none who holds strongly with me against them except Michael, your prince, okay? Now, let's look at some things. Let's also understand a couple of other things concerning the word of God and the law of God. Let's come to Psalm 19, okay? Now then, Psalm 19 contains New Testament doctrine, okay? And how much do we find in the Old Testament that actually comes into New Testament doctrine? An awful lot. So let's pick it up here in verse 7. Now, this is important to understand from this point of view, because a lot of people say the law has been abolished. And that's one of the difficult scriptures we'll cover here, because it's important to understand that none of it is abolished. As I explained with the sacrifices and the things at the temple, it's been raised to a higher level. Spiritual, okay? Same way with the laws of God. Now, we will see that in just a bit. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Okay? What's wrong with the world today? What's wrong with people who don't have God? They don't keep the commandments of God, see? And they reject the law of God, but it's perfect. Restoring the soul. Now, it is true. If more people followed the book of Proverbs in their life, the right and wrong, the good and evil, and everything it tells them there, then we would have fewer mental problems, we would have fewer physical problems, and we would be able to get along with one another better than we do now. But look at it when everybody's breaking the perfect law of God. If it's perfect, you can't do away with it. And it's written in heaven in a scroll so that it's perfect. Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now look, everything that everyone wants in their lives is what? Success is founded in the laws of God. Okay? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold and much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Okay. Now then, the next verse becomes important because there are people so set that everything in the Old Testament has been done away. And that's the way that people are deceived. Because then their minds are blinded, as we saw, by Satan the devil. They make up their own mind of what is right and wrong, which they don't know what's right and wrong outside of the Word of God. Now, they may accidentally come across some of it. Okay. Now, notice why God gave the law. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. See? Now, do people want blessing? Do people want God's rewards? Yes. Now, notice this, verse 12. Who can understand his error? Without the laws of God, you don't know right and wrong, good from evil. Okay? Now, Satan has his way of right and wrong and good and evil, and that is the good of God is wrong and my evil is good. And that's what we have in the world today, right? Look at all the problems that has caused. Who can understand his errors? Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. Amazing. Okay? Every single individual has thoughts in their minds which no one else knows except themselves and God. And many of those are sins from long ago. And that's why in the New Testament, you have baptism, and we'll talk about that later, maybe not in this message, and how important that is. Cleanse me from my secret faults and keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Do not let them rule over me. Okay. Then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of great transgression. Now notice what he says. The sum result of this whole psalm is a spiritual thing. Last verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, who is the rock? Christ. Who was Christ? He was the Lord God of the Old Testament who gave the laws. He's the one who inspired these psalms. Okay? Now, these things are all important for us to know when we come up against all of the things that we're going to look at. Okay, now, let's just have a little summary of the Sabbath we covered last time, okay? The Sabbath, if it's changed, what has to be changed? What did Jesus say about the law and the prophets? He did not come to abolish, right? And then he said, until heaven and earth pass, there shall not one tittle from the laws pass, that is everything in the Old Testament, okay, until all is fulfilled. Now let's ask a question. Fulfilled means to complete. What does that mean? Well, let's liken it to a house. Now, Jonathan is the best architect in Hollister. Now then, he draws the plans, gives it to the builder, and the builder builds the house. And there are many things that have to happen. You first have to have the foundation, and then you have to have the plumbing, and then you have to have the framing, and then you have to have the outside of the house done. You have to have the inside of the house done. You have to have a roof on it. You have to have everything complete. You've got to have all of the electricity there, everything working right. And if you don't have it hooked up right, what happens? It doesn't work. Well, that's the same way with human life. See? You have to have everything right, even in your physical body, for it to continue to live, correct? And that's what God wants, all right? Now, the contractor finishes the house. And when he finishes it, he burns it down because it's done away. No. He sells it and people move in and live in it. Right? That's exactly what it is with God's laws and ways. When Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish but to fulfill, that means to complete, to make them complete so we can live by them in the spirit of the law and led by something that we desperately need, which is the Holy Spirit of God. See? So remember that about the house. When the house is finished, the contractor doesn't burn it. Okay? That's why we have the whole Bible. Okay? Now, let's first of all come to Matthew 16, and we will put a dagger in the heart of the basic fundamental of Catholicism. And if you destroy the heart of it, then you destroy, because it's all built on lies and twistings of Scripture. Okay? Now then, one of the reasons why there are Scriptures that are difficult to understand are those Scriptures which have been mistranslated or deliberately ignored or deliberately changed. Now, I'm going to read to you from a King James first. Verse 18, after he says that the Father revealed to him that Christ himself was the Christ. Now, verse 18, and I say also unto you, that you are Peter. Now, this is the fundamental thing that the Catholics have, correct? Peter. Peter came to Rome, which he didn't do. All right? Now, little sidebar, there was another Peter who came to Rome in 42 AD, and that was Simon Magus, but not the Apostle Peter, because when you go to John, the first chapter in verse 42, it says that Peter means a pebble, a small stone. Now, using the analogy of a contractor, is he going to build a house on a small stone? No. You are Peter. Okay. And upon this rock, Petra, who is Christ? We just read it back there in Psalm 19. My rock, my redeemer. I will build my church. He didn't say he was going to build the church of Peter. He's going to build his church. Okay. And the gates of hell. Now that's interesting. Because that feeds what? The doctrine of every burning hell, right? Bad translation. We'll get the right one in a minute. Shall not prevail against it, okay? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Here it is right here. And whatsoever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Wrong translation. But they believe it. See? And furthermore, in the parsing guide and also in Strong's Concordance, it comes out in the future. No, it doesn't. See? I'll explain it in just a minute. And whatsoever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let's read it in the faithful version, because the faithful version has corrected every one of these gross mistakes that we find in the King James Version and other versions. pick it up here in verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you may bind on earth, that's in the subjunctive, meaning there are conditions. It's just not carte blanche to bind or to loose anything you want to. The Pope can come along and say, I changed the Sabbath to Sunday. Well, no, it was Constantine, and then he backed him up, okay? But the Sabbath is built into creation. So unless you can change creation, you cannot change the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. That's why Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall never pass from the law. And where is it written? In the scripture of truth in heaven above, as Gabriel told Daniel. So, therefore, let's read on. May bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. Not future tense, not whatever you want, but only according to the Word of God. Okay? That's what that means. And it will have already been bound in heaven, and the Greek is very specific here. It is in the past tense, perfect. Okay? So nothing that goes against the Word of God will be recognized by God in heaven above. Okay? So, if you have the correct understanding of this, the Catholic Church has no basis before God to represent God and to be a church of God. And you look at all of the idols, you look at all of the practices, you look at everything that they have, and it comes from paganism. And because of the false interpretation of this verse, verse 19, in binding and loosing, they take pagan practices, put a Christian name on it, and say it's okay to do. See? So what do we have with that? What do we have in the world? The whole world has been fed the deceit that the Pope has the power to do it. And he doesn't. See? No man has any power to tell God what to do. Remember where we started. Paul said we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ. We preach the truth. We preach the things that are there and write it from the Bible. Okay? Now then, when the false prophet comes along, what is he going to call down from heaven? Revelation 13, he's going to call fire down from heaven. Now, won't that be convincing? See? And remember, Satan can do certain miracles to a certain degree. Okay? And remember, if you follow Satan the devil, he will give you benefit. Until God says the day of reckoning has arrived. And then you find out, there is the heart and core of Catholicism right here. If this is properly understood, there is no basis whatsoever for the Catholic Church to claim that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, that when he sits in the chair to make a decision and judgment, his decision and judgment is as binding as if God has spoken. And so since the false prophet is going to come from the office of the Pope, we need to be really aware of what's going to happen. Okay. So, now, let's see what else we're going to find. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, because he's not going to come and say, I'm Satan, the devil, the most evil thing that there ever was. You know, he's going to come and say, hey, I've got something really good for you. He's going to come, and he's going to be like an angel of light, as we will see. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Paul writes, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How many minds are corrupted by Satan? What does it say of the prince of the power of the air? He works in the children of disobedience. What does it say that his power of deception is today? He deceives the whole world, right? And the power of the world, power of Satan, he's got the world in his hands. Now stop and think about why Christ said where we began that when he comes, will he find the true faith on the earth? The answer is very, very little. Okay? Simplicity in Christ. Indeed, if someone preaches another Jesus, and that is what the Jesus of Catholicism is and the Jesus of Protestantism is, it's not the true Jesus. Whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, and spirits come along with it. And that's also called speaking in tongues. See? And spiritual things, feelings, excitement, emotions, all of those wonderful things, but nothing spiritual from God. See? What you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. And I consider myself in no way inferior to those highly exalted so-called apostles. That's what it is in the world today. If you don't believe like the Protestants teach, you'll never get on Daystar. You'll never get on Trinity Broadcasting System. And if you preach against the religious establishment, sooner or later they're going to come and shut you down. See? And that's what's going to happen in the end time. Right now, we've got the means of preaching freely through the internet and all of this at the present time. But the time is coming when, boop, they're going to throw the switch and it's all over with. So you might think about that if you're married to your smartphone. Okay? Highly so-called apostle. And though I may be unpolished in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, for all things I have demonstrated this to you. Now, did I commit sin by humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you freely? Now, another thing, Daystar and TBN, all they do is ask for money. Every single one of them. See, I keep up with them from time to time. I can only stand it for so long, but you know. But they all ask for money. Every one of them do. Verse 13. For such are false apostles. Now there are more false apostles, more false teachers, more false ministers than at any time in the history of the world. So you see what we're up against here, okay? Deceitful workers who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Now, just like this book, right here, he did a very good job of explaining about the millennium. But he never said, repent and be baptized so you can receive the Holy Spirit of God, so you can enter into the kingdom of God and help Christ rule the world in the millennium. So if you build the greatest house in the world and you don't give them the key to unlock the door to get into it, go back to your tent. Okay? And no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now then, he's got a lot of workers for him. And remember what the Pope said recently that we brought out, that all religions in the world are paths to God. That's not so. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way. See? So his true colors came out. Okay? Therefore, it's no great thing as if servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, what's going to happen to the last pope? Remember what's going to happen to him? Lake of fire. Yes, an angel is going to cast the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire. Okay? Now think of all the success. Think of all of the great things. Think of all the adulation. Think of all of the power of the beast. Think of all everything in the world. And then all of a sudden, Christ is going to finish out what he's going to do, and the first resurrection is going to take place, and voila, all of those faithful ones will be resurrected at the same time. And, as we find in Revelation 15, will be raised and brought to a sea of glass. Okay? And there, we're going to learn what we're going to do. The wedding is going to take place. The wedding supper is going to take place and everything there. Now then, a Mr. Watkins, I don't have his first name, but he's a minister in UCG back somewhere in the Middle West, says that I am a false prophet because I teach that Pentecost is the first resurrection and the sea of glass. Well, has he never read Revelation 15, where that we all stand on the sea of glass? So you see, you even have to be careful in the churches of God. There are those who believe and born again. We'll cover that after the break. So, this doesn't cover as much as I need to cover, but what you need to do. Now, let's understand this, and then we'll close and take a break. With the Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, we have commentaries in the front. Now, you don't see them with your smartphone. Unless you deliberately go there. When you have the whole Bible, they are always there. Same way with the appendices that talk about born again, born of God, when was Jesus born, how to study the Bible, all of those things. And then we have, now we put it into a book, the Apostle Paul's teachings on God's laws. That's Appendix Z. We have 26 appendix in the Bible for you to use and study to help you understand the Word of God. And it covers all of the things that differentiates the truth from the teachings of the world. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. And then we'll come back and we'll cover born again, unless you're born again, while we take a break.